Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of Candid, where we have real talks with real people. I'm your host Shanae, and today I am here with Dudley and Selena. So today we're going to be talking about the education system and the recent comments that were made by the Honorable Philip Rave Davis regarding teachers and helping students. So I gotta read what this man said. So I saw this story on the Nassau Guardian, and the title was "Davis Urges Teachers to Go the Extra Mile." So this is a paraphrased quote, and it says, "Prime Minister Philip Rave Davis said yesterday, too many students are leaving school without the necessary skills for employment and challenged educators to go the extra mile." This is a direct quote. We think about the many children who simply disappeared from schools altogether in the last 2 years plus, and how crucial it is to do whatever it takes to bring them back and to uplift them, said Davis during a Ministry of Education church service at the Christ Community Church ahead of opening the schools. "We owe a transformation in education to all of our children. The pandemic was an enormous blow. The learning loss from their time out of school represents a real crisis, but we should also acknowledge that before the pandemic, we weren't doing enough to provide a 21st century education for our Bahamian children. There are many teachers and administrators who bring talent, love, and devotion to the mission of educating our children. For those of you who show up every day with a resolve to make a difference, you have our deepest gratitude and appreciation. But it is also true that too many students are falling through the cracks. Too many leave our schools without the skills needed for employment or advancement. Too many leave our classrooms uninspired with talents never discovered or encouraged. We can't keep repeating what we have done in the past and just hope somehow it will yield a different result. What I want to do today is present a challenge. Go beyond what is comfortable. Don't just go through the motions. Don't settle for good enough. Our children deserve more than good enough." Davis said he knows that educators are capable of change and excellence. "I know how hard your jobs are," he said. "All of society's problems show up in our schools. There is too much heartbreak and too few resources. Your own families have not been shielded from the terrible crisis of our country had endured either. You have your own battles to fight, but consider this. Thousands of our beautiful children are depending on you. Every day, they are making their own decisions which accumulate over time over whether to give it their all or give up. If you come to your job with compassion, if you go the extra mile, you will change their lives. And at the end of the day, what an extraordinary privilege it is to be in the life-changing business." And that's what he said. Any immediate thoughts?
The immediate thought that came to my mind was, he did not think that way. That's the immediate thought that came to my mind. On the surface, that was, I read it actually, and that was a well-written piece, very well-written piece. But in English, you learn about fallacies, and that is an oversimplification of what is actually happening within the education system, the solution, I should say. Because he's saying that a lot of students fell through the crack. And his solution, once you read it, is that teachers need to go the extra mile. He knows that we are capable of doing it, and we need to go the extra mile to ensure that students are leaving school with proper education, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, we all know, and he hinted on that within his piece, we know that there are many problems when it comes to the education system. Teachers go in the extra mile in the change. Teachers been going the extra mile. Because as a teacher now, that salary that we're getting, we don't get the money to decorate our classrooms. We don't get the money to buy certain resources that we need to go the extra mile. All of these things come out of pocket. Yet, it's almost like a never-ending system. They expect us to come on and show up. We're supposed to be the lawyer, the psychologist, the mentor, the teacher, the companion, confidant. All of these different hats we're expected to wear on a daily basis. We come into encounter with many personalities and still am persons with disabilities and still are expected to get some sort of knowledge, some level of knowledge, you know, imparted to them while dealing with all of this, managing classrooms, records, dealing with parents, dealing with administrators on a day-to-day basis. I don't understand how, as a leader, he didn't even hint to other solutions, because that could be one of the things, but just to say that teachers need to go the extra mile in order to prevent these things from happening. A lot of teachers felt offended by it because we're burnt out. Like I think he stated that within the piece that he wrote. Teachers went through the pandemic as well. We had to deal with all the mental aspects of it and economic aspects of it while still being expected to teach students. We had to grapple with all these things. So I don't understand where us going the extra mile came into play as the answer to the only answer to this situation. That's just my initial thoughts.
Well, when I initially read it, I thought to myself, wow. I was like, he did not just say that. Like, I understand that his heart may have been in the right place, or he may have thought that he was imparting this inspirational message to teachers, but I feel as though it just was a slap in the face to them. I am not a teacher, but even I was highly offended. Then I saw what was said, and I said, you know, maybe the headline is just misleading, but when I actually read what was being said by our prime minister, like Selena mentioned, I feel like it's an extreme oversimplification of the problem. It almost alludes that teachers are kind of the reason that students are falling through the cracks. That's how it was perceived to me. Maybe I'm pretty sure that's not what he's trying to say, but that's how it came off to me. And I don't feel like teachers going the extra mile is ultimately going to stop the problem. I feel like a lot of this stuff starts at home. There's so many things that plays into this. What's going on at home? Do the children have access to internet? Do they have a comfortable home environment? Do they have the tools they need in order to function in a school environment? Are they being fed properly? So when they come to school, they can actually function during class. Maybe their home environment isn't comfortable at all. Maybe, I don't know, something going on at home in terms of the environment, despite not having maybe electricity or internet, but like personal problems with their family, that could be an issue. And the education itself, I feel, needs a whole revamping system. And I feel like blaming teachers for students not being equipped coming out of school, I think that's ridiculous. I feel like the education system itself, the curriculum that schools are putting forward, that is created by the ministry, is not preparing students for anything. I don't see anything with mandatory in terms of budgeting, teaching them how to finance, teaching them their options besides college, because I feel like in high school we would just push go to college, but I feel like some students, college isn't their thing. Like entrepreneurship is becoming very apparent now, and students should be taught things of that regard. A lot of private schools, I feel, are adopting that. I feel like maybe that's something that could be taught across the board. I saw that they implemented swimming. That's one of the things that the Minister of Education has done. But I feel as though like it was oversimplification of the issue, and it doesn't fall just on teachers. Like Selena mentioned, teachers are underpaid in my opinion. They, like she said, they wear many hats, and I feel as though they're already carrying a tough burden, a tough load as it is. They have been for decades. Nobody wants to fix that, in my opinion, or is trying to fix that. But to say that they need to step up and to make sure that children don't fall to the crack, I feel is ridiculous, because sometimes these teachers have 25, 30 plus children in their class, and it's kind of impossible. And that's only one class that they're teaching. It's kind of impossible to keep track of all of that. I mean, teachers try their best, and I'm sure most of them do, but when you think about it, that's a lot. That's a lot to be doing. So I feel as though we should be offering more solutions besides saying that you need to pull up your socks, basically. I thought that was ridiculous to say.
All right, so boom. So my sister is a teacher. She no longer teaches. She used to teach at Oaksville Primary. I forget what they changed the name to, but she used to teach there for years and years. And I always, from she started teaching there until she finished teaching there, every summer, near the end of the summer, we had to go to her, we had to go to her classroom to help her put up her decorations. Because at the end of the semester, she teaches in a primary school, and at the end of the semester at primary schools, what normally happens is when they clean out your class and they clean your classroom, they normally take down the decorations and most of the stuff. So you have to put up new decorations, or you have to put back up the old decorations that you had. And, you know, we have to help her every single year. Me, my daddy, eventually it was me, my brother-in-law was helping out and whatever. And, you know, every year, without fail, that's what we had to do. We knew, like, around August, we had to come and help her. And you would say to yourself, well, you know, the school have to help them out at some point. Nope. The school didn't pay for the decorations. The school don't really help you put the stuff up. They just tell you. They actually, what the schools did was they provided a checklist. So somebody would come to your classroom, like during when the semester start, when the school year starts, they come into your classroom and they have a checklist, and they go down the checklist to see if you have everything in your classroom necessary to teach. And that is so absolutely insane to me that a person invests thousands of dollars of their own money, if they are able to, but they invest thousands of dollars into upkeeping and decorating a classroom to make it viable for children to learn. And then you, who have not provided a single dollar of assistance, turn around and do a checklist to be like, well, you have this and this, but you don't have that and that. And it's not like when they recognize that you don't have it, they're going to give you a little something, say, you know what, we recognize it might be a little tough. Here's the money to do it. If you don't have it, that's just marks against you and your, and you know, their review or report of you. So I think asking teachers to go the extra mile, man, that's a tough one. That's crazy, because it continues this horrible trend where we put the onus on teachers for the failures of students. Yeah, children aren't in school 24 hours. Teachers may work close to 24 hours, and not all that is spent on teaching. They also got to grade papers, prepare the lesson plans, this, that, and the third. So, really, to put it all on teachers, to say, teachers, y'all got to step it up. You know, y'all got to try just a little bit harder, because some of our students, because more than the number of students that we would like are leaving school without the proper education. At some point, we got to realize that teaching is a cooperative endeavor. The teacher starts it, and you have to reinforce it at home. Like, if the teacher give your child spelling words, and they never practice the spelling words, how are they going to get good at the spelling words? Because the teacher give them the spelling words, they can't go over the spelling words every single day. They got other things to teach them. Like, when they get into high school, if they have a test and you ain't put into them from they were small that you have to study for certain things, then what do you expect them to do? Like, how do you expect them to understand the lesson? We got to remember, like, it's a cooperative endeavor. It's already hard enough on the teachers. Them being underpaid is an understatement. It is one of the few understatements of the year. It's like you have the guarantees in life is oxygen, taxes, gas higher than minimum wage, and teachers being underpaid. So you got to check. Like, that ain't really a hard thing to catch on to. Like, you know, you just really got to sit down one day and be like, so the teacher's doing what they got to do. Parents, what y'all ain't doing? Like, are you making sure that the child is doing the homework? Are you going over? Are you trying to make sure that they learn? You know, a child don't just one day stop learning in school, and then the parents are never told. They have parent teacher conferences for this stuff, man. And I'm on the teacher side with this one. I don't understand why this was said.
Let's go even deeper. An average teacher, because you know there are many different types of teachers. You have senior teachers, you have heads, you have teachers as well who wear many hats, as in within the administrative roles and etc. But let's say just a regular teacher. You have to be to school from 8:45. You have to sign in. Then you have to make sure your class is ready to receive the students. You have to do morning devotions with your homework, take records, try to put some inspiration into them to, you know, carry out throughout the day. Then you have to teach you have, depending on how big the school is and how many teachers there are, some teachers have overloads. You could teach anywhere between, a full day would be five classes per day. And that's, some schools vary between 45 to an hour classes. So you have to, in that time now, you have to have an interesting introduction to get your students engaged. You have to have an opening exercise or cooperative exercise. Before that, you even have to teach a lesson. Then have a cooperative exercise. Then you have to give independent work. Then you have to check to see if the students are prepared, gain any understanding. And then you have to now plan for assessment or, you know, focus in. That's one class you have to do that for. Let's not even talk about marking, and you should try mark right away, because what research has shown is that by showing students what they get and where they went wrong early on, it increases their chances of succeeding later on. So now you have to try mark. That's just one class, and the maximum in one class is 30 classes. And at full face-to-face, students can range from anywhere between 28 to 32, one class. Then on top of all of that, after you repeat that five times, during break time and lunch time, you have different clubs, which you have to be a part of, because it's mandated that teachers have to be part of different clubs or whatever within the school. You have to show school spirit. Let's not even talk about PDA meetings and seminars and all these different types of things, marking, ensuring that your students are prepared. That means staying behind with afternoon classes or doing lunch classes, all these different spelling bee competitions, writing competitions, you know. Let's not even talk about art. That's just an average day teacher. And I came into education thinking, because I'm very family oriented, and I want, especially when I start my own family, to be able to be with my students, my children within the afternoon, really involved in their lives. So I'm thinking, you know, I get off at 3 o'clock period. Teaching is a job. I mean, they might still say 6:30 to 10 o'clock, even later. Sometimes you just gotta know where your cutoff limit is. Because after you do all of that, now you have to plan for your lessons for the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And you have to ensure that it's aligning with the curriculum. And this literally just the teaching aspect of it. Now let's go deeper into the classroom, where it would be great if you have above average students within the classroom and you're just teaching and they're getting it, right? No, especially within the Bahamian, we know that's not the case within our classes, because you could have a high level class and you find persons who are below level in that class as well. And not only that, and it's not that they're not capable, you know, but a lot of them are illiterate because either they started school too late or didn't get what they need. And, you know, we have social promotion, especially within the public school system, where even if you did poorly, they still promote you. Despite you doing poorly and not getting anything, probably flunking out the grade ahead. But because we don't have enough schools, you know, y'all got to keep it moving, because we have too much children. And yet a hotel is going up every so. Anyways, we're not even getting into that. But, you know, with all the disabilities and things like that, and then we have these disabilities, but we don't have proper special education programs within each school to actually work along this. The government they offer from time to time these where teachers could go and do their degree and get become a reading specialist, but yet they're placed back in these schools, and in many of these schools, these teachers still just regularly teaching. They're not, like, you know, when, okay, how some school students, when they have English and they know these children are at a deficit, they would go to reading classes or literacy classes instead of going to the mainstream English classes. Same with math and all these different type of things, but we don't see this happening. And then on top of all of that, we're now learning that every child is not academically inclined. I noticed when I went, before I graduated, when I went to my methods classes, I've noticed where students, you ask them to read, do their work or whatever the case may be, they looking like, what the hell is this? Looking at the paper, just lost. However, so I say, okay, let me read it. Once I read it and I ask, okay, do you know the answer? They're able to answer it point blank. But now you ask them to write that answer, they can't write it. Why? Because they're illiterate. They can't read and they can't write. We literally have students like that within that classroom. And then after all of that, you're not expecting these students, you're not giving them the help that they, the necessary help that they need. You're not putting programs in. I mean, there are programs, they launch certain programs, however, it's not functioning or it's not available to all students. And now, so you have these students at a deficit continuously throughout the school year because they're at a lower stream. You're not giving them or equipping teachers with the necessary tools to really help them. And at some points, they still need professional help. They're not getting it, flunking out, feeling frustrated. Then you still expect them to come to school with a chippy attitude and be like, oh, it's a great day to succeed. And that's where you get problematic students within class because they're acting out because they're trying to now, you know, I can't get attention this way. Or I can't perform at this manner. So I'm just going to become a delinquent. And then at the end of all of that, you expect them to sit down and take a standardized test. That really doesn't prove anything, really and truly. But anyway, you expect them to sit down and take these tests like everyone else. And I think it's just preposterous, really and truly. And that's just an overall lookout. And then after all of this now, you're asking teachers, go the extra mile.
Well, that's a lot of pain. That's a lot of pain. Hey. You know, yeah, I'm so glad you was a teacher so you could tell people how it is. Because, wait, a lot, and you know what the crazy, what I find to be the maddening reality of the place that we live in, people will hear you say all that and they will turn around and say, y'all still got to do better. Y'all still got to try harder. Y'all still, you know, and some people would go, This would be my favorite one. When I have to hear people say, y'all should be grateful that y'all have a job being able to teach. Whenever I say that, when I always be like, hey, buddy, there's several lines that you don't cross. You just cross a big line. That line had a warning sign. That line had a nuclear, like this, a nuclear radiated zone. I
choose to step over that. Receive all the smoke that's coming your way.
I say, wait. That got burning tires. That have people who have stepped over that line are currently sending out SOS smoke signals. And you come today to tell them, say, you lucky to have a job as a teacher. Mother sick. Wait, all I know is my teaching friends have asked me if it would be possible for me to help them mark. And I was like, I mean, I don't know what I'm doing. So they was like, this is the answer key. Please, I have the answer key for you to look at. I will be here for you to ask questions. Just please help me mark these, for God's sake. And these are exams. So I'm like, this is like 25 exam papers. Some of the questions, well, you was teach English, so I don't feel bad for you because you got all these open answer questions. People being there like, yeah, do you agree or disagree? Why? Explain your answer with points. And then you gotta read like 25 to 30 papers for one class. Then turn around, gotta do it again for the next day. And that's only in a day, bro.
Listen.
Being a teacher
it's Listen, not for the week.
Somebody told me, like, I was tutoring somebody before, and, you know, they was like, you know, you should be a teacher. I was like, you know what? My grandfather was a principal. He was also a teacher. My sister is a teacher. I see what my sister goes through every couple of months. You have to be insane if you think that I want to be a teacher full time. Like, bro, my hearts go off to y'all, because that's a lot of personalities to deal with in a day. That's a lot of disruptive people to deal with in a day. That's a lot of people. And I mean, and I'll be very honest. I'm what the people call rude. So sometimes when people don't get certain things, I just be like, but you stupid. And you can't say that to a child. You can't say that to a teenager.
Oh,
so I'd be there getting right up all day. It's like, Mr. Turnquist, we see that you called 5 children stupid today. Yeah, you ain't see what I said yesterday. I had 10. I was lowballing today.
It goes deeper than that, Dudley, because not only the administrative aspect of it, but we gotta remember that teaching is a very noble profession, because you're literally preparing students to be the leaders for the generation that's coming. And you have to speak life into them, because how many times you heard about that student that says, and a lot of them, you have those one or two that said, I had a teacher that said X, Y, and Z to me, so I set out to prove them wrong. But you have many students, you wouldn't believe the amount of students that had teachers that tell them, oh, you're not going to amount to anything, or you're stupid and this and that. And they was like, you know what? My teachers didn't believe in me, whatever the case may be. It has a psychological effect on those students, especially when they're already dealing with some deficiencies. It's such a tricky, and that's why it's a calling, because you're human just like anyone else. Teacher burned out associates. You see what I was just talking about, the average teacher has to deal with on a daily basis, and then over a span of time. And so now, that's not even your life. That's not even the administrative side of teaching. That's just literally teaching. By the end of the day, you're burnt out. Let's not even talk about a couple of years. And so you have those teachers that do slip up and snap, and it might not even be their norm, but because they're already so tired and they're dealing with so much and they snap. But in that moment of weakness and snapping, the damage that you can actually cause, that's why they say it's better to take time off, especially when you say, and you have to. I had a teacher that, because I'm at summer school, and I asked her how did she keep, you know, her personality and just being such a vibrant teacher over so many span of years, because I don't know about teachers. I keep on asking them what is their ritual, because a lot of them, when they open up their mouth and tell me how much times they, how much years they've been teaching for, 16 and 20 years, and they look in the same ages. I'm like, what? But anyway, that's off topic. She said that what she tries to do is always reinvent herself. You cannot stay in one place. You cannot keep continually doing the same thing, because you're going to become complacent, you're going to become stagnant, and then you're going to become burnt out. And so that's a whole different aspect of what teachers need, what another solution can be for the problems that we're having within education. But it really, as I was growing up, as I was a student, I always used to think, well, these miserable teachers, they need to go and why are they in education and this and that, because if they have this attitude, then they just need to go. But not until I started the practical side of education. I'm not saying that it's right, but I can sympathize, and I have some understanding of the different. It's not as black and white as it seems. It's so great in so many different areas that certain things can lead up to what can cause a teacher to say such hurtful things. But then also you also have to take accountability as to the fact that you as a teacher, you're teaching the doctors, the lawyers, the parliament, members of parliament, the prime minister, you're teaching so many different persons that can go on and do so many different things. That's the amount of trust that was placed in you. And it has to be a calling. It really has to be a calling. You have to go above and beyond.
You have to go above and beyond. That's the standard. But funny story that you mentioned about how when you, if you tell a student something, then that just affects them negatively for the rest of their life. So when I was in the, when I had to pick an elective at my school, you had to pick one, or what they is called. You have to take two. You have to take two classes, and then you and two elective classes, and then the next one is either a practical course or biology. Now, I refused to do biology with my entire being, my entire soul, because I knew that if I did it, they was gonna turn around and tell me, say, well, you might as well take the combined science, BGC and BGCSE. And I was like, not gonna do that. So, I took art. I took art because I wanted to learn how to draw. I did not know how much practice it required to get good at art when I picked it. But by the time that I had gotten to the ninth grade, my teacher told me in front of the whole class, she was like, well, Dudley, you're going to fail the BJC. And I was like, wow, that's a lot. In front of the whole class? Damn. So anyway, I went on and I definitely failed the RBJC. But as I said before, I wasn't going to go ahead and do biology. And I wasn't about to go and try to learn another practical subject. So I suffered through going to art for the next, from the 10th grade to the 12th grade, with the same teacher who told me that I can't draw. So I basically used to go to class, give up, and then like suffer for like an hour, 40 minutes. And I'm sure she used to suffer too, because it's like, you know, well, he's really not trying, and I can't really do anything but give him bad grades or give him effort grades. So it was like this constant, you know, and to this day, and she also told me I was gonna fail my RBGCSE. Like she said, oh, you're better than the BJC, but you're still gonna fail. So I was like, you know what? Maybe I just can't draw. And to this day, I cannot draw. And I put some of the blame on her, because it was like, hey, bro, at least lie. Like, you could have lied. You had the choice. And then I begged the school. I was like, please don't let me take the RBJC or BGCSE, because I don't want to fail. So whenever I see people saying, how can you fail the RBGCSE or BJC, I just have to put my head down, because I was like, I'm one of the failures.
It's not funny.
It's not funny, but you got a lot.
That's a key example. That's a key example of how much words can affect. That saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words cannot hurt me, is such foolishness, because words can hurt. They can have a psychological, especially if you hear it over and over and over again. Even if you had the motivation to at least try, but because the teacher said this over and was like, you know, that's a done deal, I'm not even going to try. Look how it affected your capability. I have no doubt you can learn how to draw. It's just somebody taking the time and effort. I'm not saying that we don't have any lazy teachers or, you know, teachers who do the bare minimum. But I'm just saying that when even if he had said some teachers, that would have been a total different thing from just general doing that sweeping generalization and saying teachers on the whole need to go the extra mile. Because you have many teachers who do that on a daily basis. I knew of a teacher for her literature BJC students, because due to how school had just reopened and the virtual lessons or whatever the case may be, and them not being able to really catch up from what they missed during that time period, and periods being cut short and all type of different foolishness. During her Easter break, she decided that she's going to do classes for free. For free. Not being paid. For free, she decided to do extra classes to ensure that her students pass. And I'm proud to say that all nine of her lit BJC students, well, no, I know she got nine A's. I don't know if it's all the students, but all of them passed. but I don't know if it's all the students who got A's. That's just a prime example of many teachers who go above and beyond. And this is a woman who is married, has two kids, and it's Easter break. You're already doing the most when school had reopened in the heart of pandemic, because we were still having waves. But she decided that she's going to take that extra step to ensure her student success. And I just think that's so commendable. And you have many teachers who go above and beyond, incorporating technology, you know, doing differentiating strategies, just doing all these things to engage their students. Because especially after pandemic, you don't understand how hard it is on that other side of the screen to get not only gain attention, but also to just do some level of comprehension during a pandemic with all the psychological and emotional aspects of it. So I like to sum it all up. Like I said, my initial reaction was he did not think that through, because like I say again, it was a very well-written piece. It was a very well-written piece, but being a teacher and knowing exact, and you don't even have to be a teacher to know, hey, that's an oversimplification of the problem.
Similarly to Dudley, I didn't have a negative experience with teachers, but instead I had four teachers in my life. Well, three teachers and one of them was a lecturer at university who really made an impact on my life. And I feel like teachers are so important to society, and they should be treated with the utmost respect, not only by administrators and the government and the ministry, but also by their students and parents. I feel like that's one thing I could say about my parents. Like, they always, the teachers' appreciation, they always went above and beyond for my teachers to let them know that, hey, they were appreciated. Because I had an English teacher, she was almost like a best friend to me. Her name was Miss Smith. And she basically helped me figure out what I wanted to do in college. Then I had, because I went to Bahamas Academy, then I had a teacher, Miss Bernard. She helped me find my love for history, because if the first thing didn't work out, then I was probably going to do a history, I was going to become a history major. And then I had a chemistry teacher. I had a chemistry teacher too, Mr. Thomas, who just has to make life so fun for me. And he just said, let me do whatever I want to do. I ain't gonna lie. Like, he was the best. And I feel like they always like encouraged me to do better and helped to mold the person that I am today. We spent a lot of time in school and we spent a lot of time with our teachers. And I feel like when we make these type of bonds, like what they say and the actions that they have towards us, whether positive or negative, has such a lasting effect on us. And I feel as though like teachers are stressed enough as it is. Like Selena, she told us exactly like the life of a teacher and how difficult it is. And I feel as though as parents and as students, we need to pull our weight. Whether you're in high school or you're in college, it doesn't matter. Like, teachers have it rough. And for someone of such, I guess you could say, a high esteem to make such a comment like that, especially with teachers not getting a lot of support, especially having to buy all of the stuff themselves. I mean, I saw a post on Facebook, must be 2 or 3 days ago, where a pack of 12 dry erase markers, I think it was like $30-something. And I was like, this is absolutely ridiculous. $30-something for markers. And I didn't even know, when I was in school, I thought like, I guess the thing that made the most sense to me when I was in high school, I thought like the school gave the teachers the supplies to decorate their classrooms, because even up until I was in grade 12, the teachers decorated the classrooms excessively. Like, you walk in there and you can learn, okay? There's colors everywhere, themes, like, so I thought like that was something that the school did, but when I came out of school and I went to college, I realized that like teachers had to do that themselves. And I find that very interesting, because we want, the whole point of like an institution or a learning institution is so that the people who come in there can learn to the best of their ability. And I feel as though classroom decoration, like I feel like it constitutes a lot to the environment and actually wanting to learn. I don't know if there's any like actual scientific research to back that up, but I know like when I walked into a colorful classroom, like I was excited. I even when I'm bored, I would sit there and read the posters. I don't know if that's just me, but that's what that's just what I did. So I feel like teachers need support. Like, let's make a stipend or like, I don't know, like have drives for them. But like some nonprofit organization maybe could come up with like you have a drive for teachers back to school where you help them get ready in terms of buying supplies, printers, laptops, stuff like that, because teachers need supplies too. We can't just expect them to go in there blind. I feel like if of course you're always gonna have bad apples, but if we make their life a lot easier, I feel as though we wouldn't have as much teachers to crack and say such callous things to our children sometimes, because I don't think it's their intent a lot of the times. But like saying to say something, if you're not aware of what could happen to you and you stay in the same spot and you become stagnant, then you may become callous towards children or maybe resent your job. I don't know. But these are things that can very well happen. So
most definitely. Let's not talk about how teachers don't have any rights anymore.
So what do you mean by that? Teachers don't have rights no more. Mm-hmm. Go on, Miss Teacher.
Okay. So I'm just speaking to the fact that as a new teacher, you're warned about certain things. You know, you're a professional, you're held to a professional, you're held to a certain standard and certain principle. But over the years, you hear about students who put their hands on teachers. I remember when my mom was working at a certain school, they had a teacher where a student, I think she was dead. She thought she was, you know, it. And I can't remember how the story goes. Either she was dared to do it or she just didn't like the teacher. And she jumped that teacher and beat her to the point where she took one of her braids. She had braids in. And the girl walked around the school, swinging around the braids, you know, showing off or whatever the case may be. If that teacher had put her hand on that child, she was not going to be backed up by the Ministry of Education. She could have very well lost her job. You cannot, under any circumstance, whether in self-defense or anything, put your hand on a child. Yet, they took the right away for corporal punishment and all these different foolishness. Students have far more rights than a teacher. You have many teachers in this school who do not feel safe, and that also affects their work ethic. They do not feel safe. You have that student, whether in physical, you know, or emotional or whatever the case may be, you have students who really do try you, who really do threaten you. And sometimes they take a step and actually put their hands on you and you cannot defend yourself. I mean, you can defend yourself, but you're going to face the repercussions on your own for it. Like if that student decides to sue or that goes to the, you know, courts or whatever, you don't have any support from the Ministry of Education. They tell us that plainly. And I think that's just... You know, because you broadcast this all over the place. All teachers seem to post the discipline of student, and even some senior mistresses and senior masters or whatever. I think at one point they were saying they can't do it. I know some schools still do it, but you know, that's on the books.
So
students know this, but we can, you know, defend ourselves. That's crazy.
So is it any way like the union can or change that? Because I'm not saying you just need to go around whopping children, but my thing is that if a child is jumping you off a group of children, and I'm not talking about like little kids, I assume that we're talking about older children and between junior and senior high. If a group of five girls or five boys go to jump a teacher, I mean, how do you expect them not to react? I don't understand that. That's really silly. And I'm pretty sure the teacher could take legal action if they wanted to, but how is the ministry not backing that? I don't get it.
I'm just telling you what they told us.
I'm going to jail.
Wow.
I know a lot of teachers that said the same thing. Like, I'm just going to take the jail time because no way I'm just going to stand there and get jumped or
I'm going to jail.
You can imagine a student have your braid parading around the place, you know. What message is that sending to other students? Non-violence is the key.
I have a clump of her hair to carry around, too.
The teacher did get jumped. The girl and her friends did beat her. that's just another aspect, like, added to a teacher's life. And listen, you have to be prayed up, because there are students that will try you. I mean, try you. Like, they set out their mission to say, I'm going to try you. That's how it feels. But you have to, you're still expected to rise above. No matter what, to rise above. So, man, that's teaching for you. But yes, we have to go the extra mile.
Well, I pray for teachers everywhere, because I can't imagine. I don't think I have the patience.
My head ain't even good enough for me to get a phone call from the school to hear that my child was in an altercation. You think I had?
You just reminded me, but I was running on just now. I'm trying. I have my point. I can remember what my point was, but listen, that's what I was about to say. You have parents that literally tell their child, if a teacher speaks to you in the way that you don't like or says something that you don't like, you have permission to put your hand on it. They literally have. I remember growing up, I had a classmate that was saying the same exact thing. Oh, my mommy tell me I could do this and I could do that, and if anything, she'll come to the school and join me and do it. I said, you and your mommy is two idiots. Because I'm not giving right to teachers that say anything to you, you know. But at the end of the day, especially as a parent, you have to know how to govern yourself. From you, let your child think that teacher and them are in the same company and they go and acting up in that teacher's class. You think that teacher can go the extra mile to help your child?
When I was a kid, my parents used to tell me, if anybody do anything, because I was bullied a lot, go to the teacher. After a while, that stuff stopped. That didn't work no more. So when I have children, I can tell them straight up, any other classmate put their hands on you, fight. Fight. The teachers could call us and sort it out. But you?
I know you lying.
Okay.
Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Candid, where we have real talks with real people. We had a very insightful conversation today about education. We hope that it brought some insight into the teaching realm for some of you guys. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Candid242. See you next week, and keep it real, Bahamas.